Greetings, constant listeners. It's Jen 2, the Rage Adams. What you're about to hear is a clip from our latest episode of our Patreon exclusive series, The Stephen King Archives, which sees the losers revisiting the year 1977, a crossroads period for King as he measured his own fame and success following Brian De Palma's Carrie and his chilling blockbuster third novel, The Shining. It's also the year King decided to revisit In Song of Susanna, the penultimate Dark Tower novel that we just covered in our latest book episode. Together, we sort through interviews, uncollected works, including a very early fairy tale, and try to key into why this year stuck with him. So how do you hear the full thing? Become a member of our Patreon, The Barons. It's there you can unlock over hundreds of hours worth of exclusive content from our Dark Tower Detour spinoff to our spooky Souls Midnights to over a dozen commentaries on all your favorite Stephen King movies. We even have a Stranger Things spinoff series called Talkin' Hawkins and a recurring Michael Crichton series aptly called The Crichton Cast. So what are you waiting for? Subscribe now through the link in the description of this episode or visit www.patreon.com/thebarons. Hope to see you there over long days and pleasant nights.
This year, The Shining comes out, and a lot of other stuff does come out, but this is actually a relatively slow publishing year for him, mm-hmm. which is wild because we know what's to come.
Yes.
But, and obviously he had already released a bunch, but it's like we get The Shining and then we're going to talk about some of the short stories and other things that came out. But the thing was, it was already in the news. We're going to read some of these articles that Stanley Kubrick was adapting The Shining.
Yeah.
That had already been established in this year. And imagine that, because Kubrick had been around for 20 years at this point, making some of the greatest films ever made. And it's like, okay, this young guy, he's literally in his 20s in Maine, has written these books that a lot of critics maybe turn their noses up at, but Stanley Kubrick's making it. Brian De Palma just had a huge hit with one. And it's all happening, and that's and just imagine the money that's already coming in. And I think that, but I think along with that sense of comfortability, it's like, well, I got to maintain this. Like I got to like the pressure that he must have felt during this time as well to keep producing. And obviously we know he did. Like they talk about him working on another novel, and mm-hmm. I was trying to think like which one. It was The Stand, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's like The Stand, but I had a moment where I was like, is it Dead Zone? Like, what is it? But it's like so wild to think about. Oh, he's working on The Stand. Like,
right.
That's the book that's sitting on his, in his typewriter right now, which is so wild to consider. Uh-huh. And I feel like that's the book that almost makes him mythic in its own way. Because here he's still, and he always feels like just a dude, but here he still feels like a guy who could potentially be a flash in the pan. And I feel like that's how he is treated to some degree in some of these articles. But
It's weird to think how similar he is to Springsteen in terms of his trajectory. Because at the same time, Springsteen's Born to Run hits in 75. And that's certainly the album that kind of catapults him to another level. And granted, he had already had, two albums prior to that, Greetings from Asbury Park and also Wild and Innocent in the East Street Shuffle. But it's like Born to Run comes out in 75. That's literally a year after Carrie comes out. And then by 78, he's got Darkness on the Edge of Town, which is only a year after The Shining. And it's like both of them at that point have these platinum, these gold records that are taking them to new heights, and they both don't stop, and they both keep expanding their reach, and they both keep just showing how big they can get, which is so wild because then you even think about something like The River, which was in 80, and that's light. I think it's like maybe one or two years after he goes and releases the Stan, and The River's his double album. And then he pulls it back and he goes and does Nebraska, which is kind of like what King does with different seasons. So it's just like, we talked a lot about how the parallels between
King and Spielberg.
King and Spielberg, but it's kind of weird to think of how similar he was in terms of with Springsteen. And also in the same way that they both come from a lot of the same sort of foundation and also mean the same thing to their respective homelands in a weird way too.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think
if we get the three of them in a room together, will it be like a Keymaster gatekeeper situation?
Yeah, we got to get these guys together. I think that would be categorically bad.
Okay, I'm going to read the beginning of this article from 1980 or from what am I saying? In February 12th, 1977.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.